Thank you so much to Bud Light Seltzer for being a presenting sponsor. We love these drinks. I love these drinks and can't wait to tell you more.
I wish I was still drinking.
Keep listening for more.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another wonderful edition of the Bill
Hurt
Podcast. Yeah, baby.
Someone's doing stand-up again, huh, Bill?
Oh, my God. I had, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I went up, I was supposed to go up Friday night at the Comedy Store. They were doing this thing where they had, you know, the OR, the original room for you non-comedians out there. When you stand on stage, right to your right, the crowd's left, is that window that looks out to the patio and Sunset Strip. So they had you standing on the other side of that window, which, by the way, has all these autographs on it. So you're looking through, you know, Richard Pryor and Robin Williams and Eddie Griffin, all of their names and shit. And then the fans, well, the crowd would sit on the patio. And they did, I don't know how many they did, but the city of LA came down and shut them down. So I was all excited. I invited a friend or two down, and it got canceled. And I was like, fuck, you know. And then, fuck it, I'll bring it up. I talked about it in the other podcast. One of my great friends in life passed away, so I was driving around Hollywood just going by all the gyms we were members of and fucking places we hung out. I went to the Jack in the Box where we went to eat late night. And, dude, it was closed like it's over. Like, Jack in the Box sold it because they're putting a hotel there. So it was that really cheesy sort of metaphor. My buddy Wayne Previty's gone. The Jack in the Box is gone. You can never go home, all of that shit. So it was really just...
He moved out to L.A. with you guys?
Huh?
He was out in L.A.?
Dude, this is crazy. There was like... there was a whole crew of guys, Boston comics, that all moved out at the same time. I went to New York in 95. And it was just, it was one of those things where like Dane started getting shit and Bob Marley got a deal or something out in LA. And the whole herd was starting to stampede and no one wanted to be the guy I think still left in Boston. So this mass exodus of comics all in like different like levels of like doing well. And everyone was doing well, but like, you know, we probably all left a little early, which is, I don't know. It's arguable whether it's better to leave a little late or a little early. But I went to New York, thankfully, because L.A. is just so fucking hard. Like, everybody always acts like New York is a hard city and everything and all of that shit. Like, dude, L.A. will just, like, I don't know what it is. It's like you just, I think it's just the way you fly across the country. And literally when you look at the topography, you're literally watching the country slowly dying. It's like I start out east. It's all green and lush and mountains. Then it kind of like levels out and then it's past the Rocky Mountains. I used to joke it was like watching your life. You know what I mean? You're all full of fucking energy when you're on the East Coast. And then you get married, you have kids, you kind of flatlining. And then the Rocky Mountains is that first medical scare. You know, you're losing your hair and shit. And then and you get out to the desert. And then you land out here, man. And it's just like, it's a combination. You move so far away from everybody you know. And that Groundhog Day weather where it's just the same thing. I don't know if you experienced that being from Florida, but it was just like, you know, when you're struggling, at least if the weather changes,
yeah,
you know, oh, good, it's a sunny day. At least it's sunny out. There can be something to get your mood going. But just every day, Bill Murray hitting the alarm clock, waking up, sunny, 75 degrees. No one gives a fuck about me. I got no spots at the Laugh Factory. No callbacks. No audition. I just got dropped by my agent. Sunny, 75 degrees. How am I going to make my rent? I'm doing fucking stand up in a fucking chicken wing place. It just was, you know, and it was, you know, nobody comes out here and doesn't just get lifted. You know, if you're lucky, you get lifted up. But when you do, yeah, it's not even just a body slam. It's that fucking wham. All your shoes fly off. People stepping over you that were fucking wanted to talk to you the day before, just all of that shit. So all of these guys moved out and they moved to this apartment building on Argyle called the Bravo. I don't know what it's called now, but it was one of those apartment buildings. Like, you know, you open your door out to outside, almost like a motel, And it was like a double decker. And they all got apartments. This landlord must have been like, this is fucking amazing. But until he found out they were all comedians. And there was like a half dozen of them. And it was like a sitcom. And they all lived there. And they would go down and wait for spots at the Laugh Factory. And, you know, some of my buddies like Wayne would work at the Spaghetti Factory and all of that shit. And when I first came out here to do my first stand-up on TV, I did Louis Anderson's Comedy Showcase. It was called The Palace at the time, which is now the Avalon or something. But I didn't realize it's one of the places where the Dice Man Cometh or something. I think he did one of his specials there. I'm glad I didn't know that when I went on stage there. I would have been extra psyched out for it. But I came out and I stayed, this dude, Tony Moschetto, I stayed at his apartment. There was this guy, Nick Costas, was upstairs. Bob Marley and his wife. There was Dave McLaughlin, Wayne Previty, Rick DeLee, all of these Boston comics just coming out, having a big swing. So whatever. So the next day, at the last second, Josh Adam Myers called me up. He said, hey, the woman who books one of the nights at the Belly Room is doing the parking lot.
Wait. Oh, did you just finish that story?
Because I didn't want to fight. You know,
No. I got very confused. I was like, okay. You've known Josh Adam Myers for fucking 20 years.
No, sorry. So whatever. So we all hung out. We all hung out and did all of this shit. And we all went through ups and downs and getting spots and having a big gig. And then it gets taken away or getting on a show or it gets canceled or having an agent. Or my first time headlining in Vegas. And I'm in front of a bunch of blue hairs and I get psyched out. I'm trying to do my edgy. I lived in New York for 5 minutes and I have a leather jacket material and I get bumped down to the middle. Just all kinds, you know, all of those things along the way as like good shit is happening. So I was kind of psyched to do this spot and it got taken away. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Jack in the Box, get the ultimate cheeseburger like I used to with my buddy, sit here and sadly eat it by myself, thinking about all the times he saved me in a bar fight. And then like the next day, and then it sucked too. I couldn't go back for the funeral because I got two little kids that I have to quarantine for like 14 days.
Yeah.
It just, the whole thing just sucked. And they were having a really small thing anyways. So what I ended up doing was I sent them this big Patriots floral arrangement, which I made sure, you know, it got there. It got delivered and people were like, well, we didn't see it at the church. And I was like, ah, fuck. Because what am I going to do? But then somebody sent me a picture and they had it like when they were getting ready to put him in the ground, they had it right next to his coffin. So that made me feel good that the flowers were got the headlining spot. So
what,
anyways,
what was he living in LA when he passed?
No, he went back east. I don't want to give out too much information, but one of his mother got sick. And he was such a big-hearted guy that he just basically, you know, he was doing well. He just stopped his dream. He went back to help out his dad. She unfortunately passed in January, you know, which broke his heart. And then he passed now. And I'm just, you know, I'm worried about his dad and his sister and his brother. It's just, it's fucking awful, man. Awful story.
It sucks.
Hey, welcome to the Bill Burr Podcast. You came here for a laugh during a pandemic.
No, everyone, dude, I mean, everyone, I think, goes through this shit. Wait, tell me about stand-up because I heard I don't know how it got back to me. They're like, Bill Burr got on stage in the bus. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, he did an outdoor show. I was like, wait, where? And they're like, Comedy Magic. It was him, Jim Jeffries.
No, Magic Castle.
Magic Castle. Tell me about it.
So I went down there and, you know, I kind of got this feeling that there was going to be a stage and then people sort of seated, spread out behind the Magic Castle or something. I didn't know what it was, but it was actually, there's a parking lot that I've driven by a zillion times, never really looked at it. I think it's where they valet when you go up and they valet and they bring your car down. So they had people there. They built this little wooden stage with some Christmas lights on it and shit. And then they had like these clacker things for the people in the crowd, which was really weird and annoying the first night because it sounded like a locust. And so I get up and I do my thing. I haven't thought about my act.
Were you like a mile away from them? Why couldn't you hear them laugh?
I mean, I could, but there was also police helicopters and loud motorcycles going by. I mean, I'm right on Franklin and La Brea. Oh,
yeah. Okay,
it's
yeah.
Loud as shit. So I went up and I was just trying to just remember my act. And I started doing this bit making fun of women, right? I regressed as a comic because I was in this great place of empathy and really figuring out all of my issues. And, you know, I went back to my, I regressed to my safe spot, like, all right, let's fucking pick on somebody in the crowd that's going to get overly upset. So I started making fun of them. And I'm in the middle of the setup for the joke, or the first little joke. And this woman, I swear to God, dude, sticks her head out the car window like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura and just starts going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, for the whole time. Just, so I'm making fun of her. I'm just like, hey, what are we on the debate? I must have been on the debating team. Just, you know, just busting her chops, whatever.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend, yeah, fuck you, starts yelling in. I'm like, are you with her? Jesus Christ, get your balls out of her purse or something like that. So I continue the joke, as you do. And I swear to God, dude, they drove away. I shit you not. And then two other cars followed them. And I was thinking like, wait, I know I'm on last. Are they going to get in trouble? And it took me a second to put it together. And I was just like, wait, this is like walking a room, but like with cars. And three cars fucking drove away. And I got to tell you, dude, it was like overwhelmingly depressing that overly sensitive white woman has not gone away. And it's just really, it's a lot of work to try and still have fun up there. Especially because I find them to be so astoundingly hypocritical and like over the top sexist. And this is me talking. They are so fucking sexist. It's like that literally, if you're saying something they don't want to hear, they're going to yell over it. Like when I said, I was doing this thing, you know, every study I've seen, then when they do to see who's smarter, they always say women are smarter than men. And she's like, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right, the whole fucking time. So then when, of course, when I flip it, then it's like, fuck yeah, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. So it's like, okay, so you had no problem with when I said women are smarter than men. You were just like, that's right, that's right. That's not some sexist shit. That is a fucking fact. But when I flip it around, then all of a sudden it's like, you need to leave because buttons have been pushed. And I have to, and I cannot fucking believe, like, those people that do that and then what they then go and sign off on, which is the exact thing that they're fucking yelling about, just completely reversed. And they're like, nah, nah, it's not the same thing. And you look at them, now that they're in power, which they basically are on social media, and like, I mean, I don't remember a time where I could go on Twitter and end a woman's career.
No.
You know?
Well,
just
no.
By saying that I say that something happens, even though they said that it didn't. Like, right? They have that level of power, and look what they're doing with it. Look what they're doing with it. And my favorite fucking thing is when they trash the person with the circumstantial evidence, and then it starts slipping into their act, and it's like, well, wait now, let's try to stay on topic now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, what does the person's act have to do with what you're talking here? Why all of a sudden he's not a real comic, he's a hack? And this is, I shouldn't just say women comics. I saw some guy comics doing this too, so it's just like, this is how petty you are. This comic's act and them getting spots annoyed you to the fact that you're going to sign off on some shit to end their career and you weren't even there.
Yep. That's real big these days.
And because you're a comedian, you hold a higher level of power in this argument and you're just like, yep, that's all I need to see.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's really, it's something else. And then I'm supposed to sit here and be like, and sort of sign off on this narrative that toxic human behavior just sort of exists in the male sex and that there's no toxic, nothing, just nothing, but just, you know, if women ran the world, there'd be no war and everything would be great. And there's no vindictiveness and nothing. It's just like, that's a cartoon. It's like human beings, all of us are flawed. So anyway, so it's just like, I remember last year when I was doing Pete Davidson, Judd's movie, doing stand-up New York, and it was just like, it was just not fun. It was just not fun, and you could just feel this certain crowd member, like trying to bully the direction of your act.
Yeah.
And like that, it's like, you can say all the sexist shit you want as long as it's about guys. But anything else, then you're this toxic person and they're fanning themselves and an apology needs to be made. And like, I don't know, dude, the more I look at that fucking Ellen DeGeneres shit and the fact that she had to issue a public apology for being mean at work to a bunch of people that never worked for her, it just, it like blows my mind. And here's the thing, I don't even watch the Ellen DeGeneres show, but what's happening to her is complete fucking, like, it should be handled in-house.
Yeah.
That's like locker room shit, okay? And all of these people who never had to host a fucking talk show 5 days a fucking week. She's got to go out there and dance in front of those fucking animals that whose excitement is through the roof. And she has to do this 300 something times a year. And every time she has to get this fuck, yeah, you're going to start getting short with people. You know? And then the amount of people at her level that are just talking to her just to fucking talk to her. And she has to like conserve her shit. She's going to get short with people. Listen, I'm not saying, I mean, I wasn't fucking there. All right. But like, I mean, adults are literally acting like children. I've had mean bosses. I've gotten fucking yelled at on set. I had a guy one time come at me. I was doing a scene and the lead didn't like the direction of it. So he started improvising. So I started improvising because he was improvising. And then the fucking money behind the movie came and looked at him and fucking yelled at me. 1,000 fucking F-bombs and all that shit because I was the low man on the totem pole. And I got pissed, but I didn't fucking say anything, right? I was like, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I couldn't get to sleep till like, you know, I woke up at like 3 a.m. thinking all the shit that I want to say, but I didn't say it. And you know what the fuck ended up happening? This guy ended up being a really good shit and he ended up having another fucking movie, you know, years later. And he goes, hey, there's 2 parts in here. Pick the one you want to do. And I did it and we hung out in that movie and now I fucking love the guy. So it's just like, if I judged him in that one moment and I went to Twitter, oh my God, it's like, no, we were making a movie. Things weren't going the way we wanted. Money was flying out the window. People's emotions were high. I got caught in the crossfire. You know, you got to be a big boy at some point. Just be like, all right, is this who this guy really is? Yeah. Hey, he does this again. Yeah. Then I got to say something. All right. He does it one time. All right. I got 5 lines in this fucking movie. I get it. Shit runs downhill. And I don't know, just this, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to hold somebody to that standard and then look at yourself, it's just like, dude, I haven't been that guy. Oh, I haven't fucking snapped on somebody that didn't deserve it. Like, I actually think about that woman in the car, the way I could have finessed that and got her to laugh, to listen to the rest of the joke, which was actually complimentary to, you know, I was going really hard this way to end up going that way. And they drove away in the middle of it. So the next night though, so my wife had to listen to me, give her an earful about like how, like I was just dumbfounded that 6 months of people watching their loved ones, grandparents, friends, and people die, people lose their businesses and all this shit, that this stupid fucking petty shit of, oh my God, I'm a white woman. And you just like, cross the fucking line. I thought that shit was going to go away. And to go back first show, pick right up where we fucking left off, was just overwhelmingly depressing. And unfortunately the next night Josh goes, hey, you coming back? And I was just like, all right, fuck it, I'll come back. And I went back and I actually sat and I listened to my act, like 10 minutes of it, wrote down a little bit of a set list and then went up there. And last night I fucking ripped. And I had a great set and I actually really enjoyed it. And I remembered, I had that feeling again, like, oh, this, that's right. Connecting with an audience, making people laugh, seeing people, you know, that aren't like you laughing, especially if you're talking about your life and them relating, it just makes you feel better. And for the life of me, I don't understand why they have just seemed to have singled out comedians. And I think, I don't know. I mean, my paranoia is that if you get a really great one, like a Dave Chappelle, they can say stuff that can really influence people, I think, in a really positive way.
Yeah.
And like certain people don't, you know, don't like want that. Like, I don't know, just the level, I don't know. I'm a lefty dude. And I have to tell you, like the level of name calling and bullying that's been on my side of the aisle is like, it's like, it's fucking, it's just embarrassing. It's like when you see a fan of your team, like you go to an away game and you just see fans acting like fucking idiots and getting into fights. You're like, come on, man, they're going to judge our whole city by this. What are you doing? So yeah, whatever. It's been a, you know, been a bad week.
It's
but I did have that set, so it was good.
So they stay in their cars?
Yes.
And they're not allowed out?
Dude, it's L.A. parking. So, I mean, it's jammed in.
I'll tell you what, man. We had we were in Philly last night. Did 900 cars. Fucking amazing. At the old vet. The parking lot for the vet. And and initially they were like, you know, no one's allowed out of their cars. And then they, you know, Philadelphia.
The vet, like where the Phillies and Eagles played?
Yeah, yeah. The whole parking lot, Bill. It was like a quarter mile long. It was fucking massive. It was amazing. I did have a panic that I was like, shit, this Philly is where Bill had his hiccup with the crowd. And I was like, Philly's unruly.
It was not a hiccup. it was a face plant.
So I was like, shit. Initially, they're like, no one's allowed to leave their cars. And people were like kind of pissed. Fucking Philly just did a rework. They just climbed out their sunroofs and sat on the hoods of their cars. It was fucking amazing. Amazing.
I can hear it in your voice.
Dude, I was
like, your voice is blown out.
Oh, dude, it was like, and then I got in the golf cart and do a meet and greet, drive around, and like everyone's leaving traffic wise. Fucking out of this world. But them being out of their cars is the game changer. Once they can, like the one we're doing tonight in Cape Cod, they have roped off areas that you have purchased where you bring your car in and then you, that's your space. So you're like, everyone's like last night, every car, they had a space between every car.
I love that they're figuring it out.
Oh, dude, this place in Cape Cod is fucking amazing. Three huge jumbotrons, like the one last night Bill Live Nation put on. Two huge jumbotrons next to the stage, and then three jumbotrons throughout the parking lot so everyone could see everything perfectly. It is, I'm telling you, man, this show last night, everyone will end up doing that. If we stay in quarantine for much longer, it's an option for comics. I did a show in Butler, Pennsylvania that was one of the best shows I've ever done in my life. A tiered drive-in, so it was into the side of a hill. It was fucking crazy, Bill.
Are you gonna put out like a drive-in like coffee book, stand-up drive-in coffee book, just like with just, you should, I mean I know like you're on a small budget because of all this extra money you have to spend with travel and all of that, but like you got a photographer to start snapping pictures, because this is gonna be, I mean, you go back and you look at those the Spanish flu or whatever the fuck it was, influenza and all of that. Like, those pictures are really interesting. Oh. I just don't know if pictures interesting nowadays. I think just because so many, it's just like an idiot like me with a cell phone. But like, you know what's really underrated that nowadays is a lost, as a professional photographer with like a real camera and someone that can like capture, you know, those honest like moments rather than, you know, the selfies and
look at this picture. Look at this picture we took the other day, Bill. Hang on. Look at this picture. It didn't get barely any likes. This is a real picture we took in Memphis.
Jesus Christ.
Lightning striking right above the tour bus. And no, everyone's like, nowadays, you're right. People look at that and they go, oh, that's Photoshop. That's not real. And it's a real fucking picture. But then,
or they'll say shit like, great pick, but what's up with the color of that bus? Laughing my ass off, shaking my head. They got to look into the corners of the picture so they can be the original person.
Dude, it's,
I mean, I posted a picture of me and my buddy, you know, my buddy who passed away, and it was just the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, you should bury those fucking dad jeans with your friend. You know, it's just like, I get it. You're edgy. You're funny. I get it. Yeah, like, you know, like you were wearing today's styles in 1999. I understand.
So are they going to keep doing more shows at the Magic Castle? That sounds fun.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, I'm going to try to, like, go down there, because now that I've seen what it's like and everything and everybody is safe, there's always a couple of jerk-offs without fucking masks on, you know, or the guy who has it down and he's breathing out of his nose and it's here. It's just like, what is the point? And then they want to come up and talk to you. It's just like, buddy, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Don't you want to help this fucking thing end? So there's always a couple people like that. And
I'll tell you, man, I never say anything,
but it is annoying.
I'll tell you the thing. Here's what I noticed. I was talking to someone. They're like, yeah, man, I can't do drive-ins. Those are shit shows. Everyone's honking. I go, says who? I said, you've never been to one. And he goes, well, that's what my agent said. And I was like, your agent hasn't been to one. Like, fuck off. Agents are so afraid of losing clients because they're not making any money right now that they're scaring their clients into staying with them. When the truth is, there's...
Why can't their agent just book them at the drive-in?
Because it's not that easy. There's only a couple promoters doing drive-ins. So it's kind of tough to get into right now.
I just said Live Nation's doing it. Once Live Nation's
Live Nation, Live Nation's doing this one. This is brand new. I was the first comic. I was the first, I think, person to do this show. Michael Blackson's coming out.
I never said you weren't first.
No. I meant it. Shut up, Bill. This stage just went up. Yeah. It just went up yesterday. But there are going to be options like what Chappelle's doing, different stuff out there that we can all do and try. And I think agents scare people into doing it. Brian Regan's doing a run. Nikki Glaser's doing a run. And I'm telling you, man, there's so much fun to be had at these things. And I got letters from people that are like, you know, hey, my husband's a cop. It's been a rough run. It's so nice, you know, that we put on nice clothes and went out and got out of the house for the first time in 6 months. You know, it's been a rough summer. And you're like, and that's what I think is so cool about them doing it.
Fuck you.
Dude.
It's so funny that just the different experience you can have. You're a fun guy on stage. I'm a cunt. And then, you know, that's what happens.
The yesterday we're driving through Philly and those kids on dirt bikes, like the Rough Riders, like DMX, all surround our car and are just vroom, doing fucking wheelies and shit. And there's fucking a van full of late 40s men with their cell phones videotaping these 12-year-olds, 15-year-old kids on motorcycles. And they're just, and then some kid fucking wrecked.
Yeah, that happened. Have you seen this one guy? He's the best I've ever seen as far as doing wheelies. He does it on like a Harley, like a with the bags, the whole fucking thing, and like flip flops and Larry Bird shorts. And dude, he has like the back scraping on. It doesn't even make sense. It looks like he's on a Road King.
That I wish I could do that shit. When we went to Sturgis, there were guys, they just go down the strip and they're going on their motorcycle, just standing on their seat, arms wide open, going to like fucking 50. And you're like, fuck that. I could not do that.
Guys, I mean, I don't know what, I like that people do that, but I can't watch, I got to look away.
Dude, no, what's the reward?
I saw it today, this guy was doing one of those fucking backflips off, you know, in a quarry. And he fucking did it the wrong way and landed on the rocks and then went in. It's just like, I mean, it's just these fucking kids. It's just like, you just went from the prime of your life to now you can't beat Joe Namath in a fucking foot race. You went from prime of your life to I played 20 years in the NFL fucking 50 years ago. I mean, I just was like, that's patella, femur, fucking...
Dude.
It was like Wile E. Coyote, except it was a person. I don't know why my AC isn't I got to turn my AC on. Just talk amongst yourselves real quick.
Okay.
Fucking hot as shit. Hang on. All right, that should do it. Sorry.
It's okay. So I get a phone call from Leanne the other day. I wake up at like noon and I get a phone call from Leanne and she doesn't look right. She's crying. And I'm like, what's up? I knew something's off because she was in her bra. She never calls me if she's always FaceTimes me fully clothed because she knows I'll take pictures. So calls me. She passed out walking into the kitchen, landed on her face, teeth went through her lip, and knocked herself unconscious. Woke up in a pool of blood, like, what the fuck? Was so out of it from concussion that she then worked out, went and met the contractor for the new house, and then she called me. She was like, I think I hurt myself. And I'm like, her face is fucked up beyond recognition.
Contractor didn't say anything? You must think you're
contractor,
a wife.
Contractor was like, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was like, go to the hospital. Dude, I joke around about like my wife. I make a lot of jokes. They took her to the hospital and they're like, yeah, we're going to keep you here. There's something wrong. Like it could be a brain tumor. It could be like they, and the panic that went through my heart, the idea that I would have to raise my kids.
I'm hoping there's a happy ending to this.
They don't really have an answer. They think that it's either exhaustion or that she has a electrical problem in her heart that just flickers every now and then. And it just made her faint. She's fainted before, but never to this level. Never to like.
Not like that Hank Gather stuff for Reggie Lewis, is it?
What's that?
They were basketball players. And oh, they had something going. I forget what it was. Some sort of irregular heartbeat or arrhythmia, whatever. I mean, I don't know. But they would collapse.
Yeah. They think she's fine. They're doing tests on her heart right now. But, man, the idea of being a single parent for a second, I had it like in my head. I was like, oh, I got real angry. I was like, so life's not fun anymore, I guess. I guess I just don't do stand up. I guess I just move home and then raise two kids. And then what? I guess I'm not, you know, like I got real fucking angry.
You didn't think about her at all.
Not in the slightest. I was like, Leanne doesn't care. Leanne just be like, well, I'm dying. I'm so sorry I'm leaving you guys. But this is life. This is a circle of life. And I'm sitting there going, no, it's not. That's not fucking cool. I literally was like, I'm supposed to die first. How dare you outdie me?
Outdie, you mean preemptively die. Outdie would mean you died too. I don't want to be a cunt here, but it's what I am.
She's fine now. Her face is still really fucked up.
Yeah, I go back and forth. Like, I want to live to 100, but I don't want to outlive. I don't want to say anything out loud with the way my friends are fucking dropping like flies. Speaking of which, I got to call your fucking heart doctor.
Yeah. Oh, is that what got the text? Was
I got this year alone two heart attacks, a stroke, and an aneurysm. People in and out of, in it, both in show business and out of show business, what in the last, like, I don't know how many months. So it's just like, we are at that age.
Yeah.
We are at that age.
I'm going to, when I get to Macon, no more booze, and I may just run that through the end of the year. Unquestionably good. They are fantastic, refreshing seltzer with natural ingredients and no artificial flavors. Bill, this is a perfect pre-show cocktail. If light, refreshing.
That was just when I was drinking.
Dude, let me tell you something. These are amazing. Put it on ice. I pour them over ice. Drink it right out of the can. I had them with Bon Mies the other day in Philly. Lemon, lime, black cherry, mango, strawberry. 100 calories. 100 calories. Let me tell you something. Four of these really does the trick.
So you get 1 gram of sugar. You get fat. Wonderful. Where was that, Bert? You look at me and pictures me in the past, my giant Charlie Brown head. Well, yep. God bless you and Bud Light Seltzer.
5-step filtration process, quality taste with a clean finish. And it has a familiar Bud Light easy drinking name. For those of you who are looking for an approachable brand in a wide, hard seltzer category made with real cane sugar.
Keep it clean.
Good clean. Cane sugar for a high quality taste. If you'd like one delivered right to your door, you can go to budlight.com/billbert. You can also find a retailer near you at budlight.com/billbert. Pick it up in a local grocery store, convenience store, or liquor store. Enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Bert, you know that thing they do with celebrities, who wore it best?
Yeah.
With us too, they should do who read it worse.
Is that good?
You. All right, yep. Everybody.
Hold on.
All right, everybody. It's Helix. All right, please talk about bad sleeping conditions on the road. Oh, geez, you know, a Super 8 when there's a serial killer next door. We all know what a bad sleep night's about. Helix Sleep makes personalized mattress made right here in America and shipped straight to your door with free, no contract delivery, free returns, and 100-night sleep trial. Gross!
Wow.
To choose a mattress. Yeah, they're going to take that thing back, just like your old cell phone. Then they bring it to some other country. they repurpose it. You choose a mattress. Helix made a quiz. Oh, to choose a mattress, Helix made a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, you sleep on your slide or on your back or on your stomach, or you sleep really hot, gross, with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste. You can take the quiz and you will be matched with the Helix mattress that you wanted. I love Helix. I read this whole article, Bert, that if you don't sleep well, it shortens your life. So why not get a customized mattress? All right. But you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ, Wired Magazine, and Apartment Therapy. Just go to helixsleep.com/Bill Burr, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up and give you a full refund if you don't love it, but you will. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off mattress orders for our listeners. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Bill Burr, B-I-L-L-B-E-R-T.
If you're bored in your house, why not play with your balls? Our sponsor today is Manscaped, and they are here to make sure your balls are smooth while you or your partner are playing with them. Manscaped promotes clean hygiene when it comes to shaving your balls, and they would like to thank their Lawnmower 3.0. I love the Lawnmower 3.0. While you're probably looking for new things to do at home, why not make grooming your balls a part of your routine? Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. The Perfect Package Kit 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. Not only does Manscaped obsess over technological developments to provide you the best tools for grooming experience, but they only use the best ingredients for their formulations. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also find Manscaped's Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant and Moisturizer. Subscribe to the Perfect Package and get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months.
Bert, you're crushing this read.
Making sure you're trimmed
out. Don't blow it. You're losing your confidence.
Making sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts and the Shed travel bag at $39 value added. And the patent high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxers. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BILLBURT at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BILLBURT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code BILLBURT. Make playing with your balls the best part of your day. Thank you, Manscaped.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was trying to do the math. I'm over 600 days.
Yes, someone just asked me about that.
I don't even think about it anymore. I really don't.
Really?
No. It just doesn't even, you know what it is? It doesn't occur to me. Like, I haven't had a cigar since January 29th. I'm going to have one tonight, the first one since then. But in a way, I'm a little bummed out because it doesn't occur to me to have one anymore. Like, I only need to go like 40-50 days. Alcohol was longer. Because alcohol, like, you know, cigars like a celebration of moment or whatever, where alcohol was just there. You know what I mean? Do a show, do a shot, you know, going out to dinner, have a glass of wine. It was just, yeah. It wasn't like they, you know, alcohol is just so there all the time, everywhere you go. It took me a while to have stopped to be at places where there's alcohol and to not see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never been there.
Girlfriend, like, is there still any feelings there? I think I finally cried all the whiskey out of me. So
I smoked a cigar in, I think we were in Amarillo. We were at a lake and we were on a cliff and the lake was below us.
I say Bobby Lane lived there.
Who's Bobby Lane?
Bobby Lane, one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL of all time.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Sort of the original Ken Stabler. Ken Stabler modeled a lot of his career after him, where he would go out, you know, he'd have booze on his breath in the huddle and still win the game and the championship for you.
Yeah.
Was Amarillo where Texas Tech is? Or is that Lubbock?
I don't know.
I fucked that whole thing up. I apologize to everybody in Texas.
No, we were in Amarillo and we were on a cliff overlooking a lake and a thunderstorm was coming across the lake and lightning was everywhere, but it was far away and it was lighting up the sky and I broke down. I broke down, went in the bus, got a cigar, sat in a fucking lawn chair.
Oh, I thought you meant you started crying. I was like, oh God,
no,
I don't want to hear that.
No, no. We were drinking and I fucking lit a cigar and I was like, I'm going to have a cigar. It was my first cigar I've had probably definitely since quarantine, since March, definitely.
Oh, cool.
It was
That's
nice.
Weird that you haven't smoked them, but you brought them.
I have them with me all the time. Bill, I always have weed with me, and I never smoke.
You just want to just in case. I hope you're not going across state lines where it's not legal. End up in some fucking Tommy Chong shit.
I think we're good on the weed. We're getting here was a little sketchy. I was nervous in Texas and Arizona.
Oh, my God. Those guys, they're just waiting to take out their fucking miserable existence on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know Texas isn't as great as they say it is, or they wouldn't have to talk about it all the time.
Tell that to Rogan and fucking everyone's moving to Texas, apparently.
I love when you say everyone. All it takes is three people. Everyone's leaving people. Hollywood.
Start panicking. I text Whitney Cummings. I'm like, you're not leaving, are you? And she's like, well, I don't know. Taxes are, you know, dot, dot, dot. Joey Diaz is going. Ari's going to Texas. Joe's going to have
Ari was in New York. He left a long time ago.
Yeah, did you see Big J get attacked?
Big J got attacked? No.
Ooh. He was doing an outdoor show, and they were on stage about
what
six.
What the fuck would Big J do on stage? It would make something. He has such like a. I mean, I know he's a little blue, but like I always just thought he had a his vibe is great. Like I don't see him. Like even when he makes fun of people, the way he makes fun of them, is in such a playful way. What happened?
The girl was losing her mind for every comic that went up. It was like at one point, apparently, I wasn't there, but I heard from Jay. Apparently, at one point, was screaming like a baby, like screaming. Throwing a temper tantrum. Her dad claims she's an alcoholic bipolar. And Jay just went up.
Well, she's not a feminist.
Yeah. What is in that bag? Oh, Jay just went up.
Thank you.
Bud Light Seltzer. Jay just went up and started messing with her. You know, white woman this and privilege this. And then her brother came up to the stage. Her brother's like a porn star or a porn director.
This is a great family.
Yeah. Well, their dad's a fan of the Legion of Skanks, so that should tell you everything you need to know about this family.
Hey, Big J, live by the sword, die by the sword. This is your fan base is so crazy. Wow.
The brother came up, grabbed Jay by the ankle, and ripped Jay off the stool, off the stage. Jay fell 6 feet off the stage onto the dude, and then Luis J. Gomez jumped on him, and apparently Legion of Skanks fans bum-rushed this dude and I think put him in the hospital and in jail. He went to jail. Oh, you got the video?
But most importantly, how's
Jay? The video.
Is he all right?
I sent it to you, Bill. I texted it to you if you want to watch it.
Ari shot him. Yeah, look at this.
Dude, first of all, is he the Hulk? Who ripped Big J? Who just grabs Big J by the ankle and fucking yanks him off?
He pulls the legs of the stool, I believe.
Oh, is that
That's
it?
That's still amazing.
Yeah, it was Jay was on a live stream. I'm in the bus and he's talking about it. And I just called Jay. I was like, tell me everything I need to know. Whoa. Yeah, right?
What I take the, that back.
That looks like special effect.
Yeah, he pulls one ankle. He pulls his right ankle off. Foot.
Yeah, and that is Luis J. Gomez.
No. He came from behind.
No, that's Luis J. Gomez coming to stop the fight. It looks like Luis is knocking Jay off, but Luis just...
That looks like an old Burt Reynolds movie, like Hooper or something. I'm just laughing because I know he's all right.
He's fine. But that other guy is not good.
That was no joke. That was a fall.
Yeah.
6 feet in the air and about fucking 20 yards, not 20 feet.
It was intense. Stand-up comedy's back.
I'm glad you told the Big J story before I told my fuck you, and she drove away story. I couldn't follow that. Wow.
Yeah, having someone walk during a drive-in, and I've had that where they leave early, is extremely distracting. Extremely, like when they go back up. Pull out, drive in front of the stage.
You gotta
fuck off.
The car. You got to look at the make and the model, and then you got to do a whole backstory. Because I was doing that last night. Like, oh man, look at all the Priuses, fucking liberal crowd. Someone with a lift kit to balance this crowd out.
Did you hear what Colin said? He said something about making fun of cars, and he's like, look at this guy in a 1997 Mercedes Benz. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's your next act, Rich Voss. It's crazy.
I knew I wasn't original.
So it's crazy that with everything going on, there are still people that are looking to get outraged. They're going out of their way to find outrage that they can't just put things on pause and go, not for me. You know
what kills me is I have a bigger chance of offending people in front of a crowd of white women than I do doing like the black show.
Oh yeah.
Right? One of the uptown shows. The uptown shows are like, if you don't bomb, they're fun. But even if you bomb, it doesn't get ugly. And it's like, you can literally joke about like the sense of humor that African Americans have is, and you just look at feminists, that's the thing, dude. They have absolutely zero sense of humor about themselves.
Yeah.
Everybody else is okay to make fun of. You make fun of them, they're just like, it's not all of them, because my wife is a feminist and she's got a great sense of humor, but these, like, I don't know, feminism meets morons. Like, you're just, they're just fucking morons, but I will say though, they know how to apply the pressure. They apply pressure where the money's at. You know, they go to the corporation and they know corporations act like the mob. This guy's bringing too much heat. Whack him, get rid of him. That's all they're doing. And
what's crazy though is that they,
the tipping point, I swear to God, dude, the tipping point is when you know, networks and agencies and big companies stand by and just go, well, okay, if you can prove what you're saying, then it just goes away in 3 days. But they get all sucked into the bubble. There's so much shit I could say, but like, I don't want to, like, I am a big fucking believer in not trashing other comics publicly. I really am.
Yeah.
You know,
there's no money.
Cannibalism shit. We can all get each other's phone numbers. You want to call that person up and vent, or just do what everybody else does. You have your close buddy in comedy and go off on the person that you don't like. You know, to fucking do it on the internet is just like, it's like you're acting like one of those bots, you know, that are just, they're just there to disrupt shit. I don't know.
But it's not, you know what bums me out?
Maybe I'm wrong.
No. I hate that shit, because I look at things like, I get on the phone with Nikki Glaser and I start telling her about one of these gigs and I'm like, hey, you need to get hooked up with a merch guy. You need, like, I, that is what I got into comedy for, is the camaraderie and the fucking bullshitting. And I, there are comics I don't like, and I text privately with other people, or you, I go, I'll go like, you know, what about this guy, or back and forth. But to do it out loud, I just don't get it. And then what's even crazier.
Yeah, but I would never, as much as I don't like somebody, I would never pile on to try and help ruin their career if I had no evidence.
Oh, that's,
if I wasn't, I mean, even there. As much as I didn't like somebody's act, that's the thing that's really sad about a lot of this stuff. And, you know, it's creating this division. And it's like, when I see somebody do that, it's going to be real weird if they say hello to me, because there's no way for me to not have in my head, like, well, yeah, hello now. And then what are you going to say tomorrow online if there's even a gentle breeze blowing in my direction? It's just like, that's not, I don't know. I just don't, it's not how I was fucking brought up, dude. You don't, somebody's laying in the fucking gutter, you fucking start peeing on them because of your own personal bullshit. I don't know.
There's a comic that Patrice and I saw headline in Edinburgh. And Patrice was, and I were breaking down why this guy was good. Like, what was good about this guy? Like, he's not my style of comedy, nor is he Patrice's style of comedy, but we sat there and we picked apart, like, what we loved about what he was doing and how it was good and what was brilliant about his act. I never forgot that. I never forgot that I watched this guy do a full hour. It's the first time I saw a person do a full hour before. I'd never seen anyone do an hour. And I sat with Patrice, and then later that night, the guy didn't know who Patrice or I were, but we said hi. He knew that we were American. He's American. And he was fairly nice, but, you know, aloof. I won't say his name. The other day, I saw that he had liked a tweet I was mentioned in. You know how that comes up in your Twitter? If you go to the verified people, liked a tweet I was mentioned in. And the tweet was someone saying they hoped, or they were pretty sure, that I was – going to be the next person up for sexual assault charges. Like, they're like, I don't know, man. Rogan's friends are all sketchy. Bert Kreischer's definitely got some dirt. And this guy liked it. This guy that's a celebrity comedian, he wasn't mentioned in the tweet, Bill. He was looking through the internet for fucking – and by the way, he's a big comic. And he was sitting there in his fucking underwear and his shirt eating ice cream on the internet just going – yeah, fuck Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura. Fuck those guys. And he liked it. And he retweeted it. What a fucking cunt. I want to call him out publicly because he's a cunt, but I don't, because, listen, man, I hope he does well also. Like, I have no
– if you got a problem with him, get his number and call him up. That's how you handle it. You handle the shit. That's like that Ellen shit. Okay, the show got a little sideways. Maybe she did something. Maybe she didn't. I mean, you fucking adults, sit down – like, to sit there and whine to the public who's just sitting there, not everybody, but generally the public, it's just entertainment. Yeah, throw another log on the fire.
Yeah.
Because that really is like, I don't know. It's starting to go into now where it's just like, if someone thinks you're mean, your dream is over. It's just like, now what's it going to be? What's it going to be 3 years from now?
No, it's, you know, it's
slightly aggressive.
And what I think it is, I think there are lower.
The way he said good morning, it made me uncomfortable.
I think there are comics seeing that there are spots opening up. They're going, wow, we took D'Elia down, now we got a spot open. I think there are comics that look at this business that way. And they go, if we cancel enough guys, then there will be spots. Maybe I can get more spots. And maybe I really believe that there are people that think that way. Because I got on a phone.
I don't necessarily think that that's what's. I don't think that that's what's behind the movement. I do think after somebody gets taken out, that there's a lot of.
No, I don't think that that's what happened to. I don't think that that is what's happening with the movement. But I think there are comics that are excited that people are getting taken down because they're like, okay, now it's my. Now I get a shot at my $1 million or what. I think that there really is. I had a female comic.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be wrong. You wouldn't be wrong that there are, unfortunately. In all industries, there's people like that. But my thing is, I feel like the same way we have to keep ourselves out there by putting stuff out, you know, specials and getting an acting gig or sending out stuff on social media. I feel like movements have to keep themselves out there. And, you know, when you're doing what they're doing, you just got to take somebody out every once in a while to remind people that that's what you're doing. And, you know, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, there's some that I'm like, yeah, man, that looks like that person did some shit. And then there's others where it just looks like, dude, that is like held together with like fucking honey and scotch tape. This is like, this is bullshit. This is just a bad date. And, but they all get treated with the same, like, you know, they just, I don't know. And then at the same time, and they're the people that do that are then asking for you to support it. And it's just like, you know, I definitely support stopping that type of behavior. I mean, as far as somebody being mean at work, I don't give a fuck about that. Okay, that's in-house shit. But I mean, this whole sexual assault thing, yeah, like, I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with signing off on, you know, just everything from like, you know, there's 40 people saying this to like a sliver of two DMs pasted together from 7 years ago, and you're supposed to, you know, sound the fucking alarm. I mean, you see all this shit of people going to jail for shit that they didn't fucking do, and they actually got a goddamn trial. So, I mean, you're doing it this way I don't know. It's that they're playing a very dangerous game. So, but also, having said that, you know, I talked to a female comic like 10 days ago, and she told me some fucking stories, and I was just like, wow. And she said, yeah, man, when I see some guy getting going down, my first thought is good, fuck him. And after hearing her stories, it's like, you know what? I understand that. I do understand that. So what I really hope will happen is eventually that it's gonna, that the initial blast of anger of like, this is what's been going on all this fucking time, you fucking asshole guys, will eventually come back to, okay, now everybody knows that. Okay, now we can like go back to, now there's people you can report shit to and all of that, then there can be evidence, there can be an investigation and all of that stuff. So you can make sure that when you nail somebody's ass to the wall, that they did something, that they definitely, you know, I don't know. I don't know, dude.
It's you know what it is? I think when you talk to, especially female comics, like it's like being in a boat and someone saying, are there any sharks in there? And you're like, well, I don't see anything from above the water. And women are below the water because they see the sexual harassment and all the shit. And they're like, oh yeah, there's tons of fucking sharks in there. And you're like, that's funny, I don't see any fins. And you're like, yeah, they're not going to show you the fins because they're going to treat you differently. And so I think that's probably what it is. Cause I'm not like a guy that chases pussy. So like, you're never going to hear me talking about that, you know, at the clubs. I'm just going to be like, in, anyone want to get a drink? And then I bounce. So
how psyched are you that that's the way you were?
Dude, can I tell you, I am so grateful. I am so grateful that
they
I
had hard, no game,
that I have a hard time kissing people. Like it for whatever reason, I have such a difficult time with the first kiss. And I wanted, Bill, I wanted so badly to slide, be able to slide into people's DMs and fucking, and try to kiss chicks, push them up against the wall and like make out. I wanted that shit in my life. I just am not that guy and I could never do it. And I hated myself for it. I was like embarrassed that I'm just a like uncomfortable fucking dude. I remember being with someone, there were these girls, we were in this room and there was this guy, another comic, and he thought we were gonna fuck. I was so uncomfortable at the idea of asking these two girls to fuck both of us at the same time that I couldn't stop making jokes about it. And he was like, hey, turn it off. You're fucking it up. And I was like, I just got.
You do not get fucking while there's some other people fucking in the same room. I have never understood that. I don't understand, you know, me and my buddy tag team this chick. And it's just like, I think I won.
Yeah.
If I just like, Like, okay, you're hooking up with the chick. I never think like, oh, wow, I wish my buddy was here.
I never understood. Like, I remember coming to New York and you'd hear comics talk about doing the road together. And then we both fucked this chick. And I'm like, gross. Like, that's disgusting. Like, I won't.
You know what, let's just get off this fucking subject, because I swear to God, like, someone will edit this fucking thing up. You know, and they think it's funny. They think it's fucking funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird times. Weird fucking times.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready for clubs to open up. I'm ready for theaters to open up. I'm ready to – I have a brand new bit that I'm in love with, but you can't work it out the way you would in a club where you do like three shows, belly room, OR, main room, and then run over the improv, bang one out, and then you're like, okay, that bit is solid. We've got that up and running.
Well, maybe there'll be three parking lots near each other. You can get a little fucking scooter.
Yeah, you know, if they just, in the Grove, you just have a show on the level one, a show on level two, a show on level three, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go.
Have you seen any good movies or anything out there?
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing, nothing.
I need to watch, you watching hockey playoffs, anything like that?
I grew up in Tampa. When I was a kid, it's interesting.
Lightning are up 2-1 against Columbus.
Yeah, but the Lightning weren't there when I was a kid. The Lightning weren't there when I was a kid, so I never got to play lacrosse, hockey, all the white guy sports that I would have been good at. I never got to play.
What about the Devil Rays?
Oh,
are they going to be the next Expos? Are they going to move to Montreal?
I don't know. So I've set up events every day for us to do on this trip, right? Every day I have some socially distant, safe event, usually at the parking lot. So we had these CrossFit guys come out and do a CrossFit day for us. Today they're going crabbing. Everyone's going crabbing today in Cape Cod. So the other day I get this guy to set up a pitching machine in the parking lot, and it's wet. They're rubber balls. It really sucks. And then he's like, fuck it. I paid a buttload of money to have a batting cage and a pitching machine there, but it's too wet to use it. So then the guy goes, fuck it. Just grabs a bucket of balls, and he threw batting practice to us in the drive-in movie theater. Bill, I have never had more fun in my fucking life. I mean, I have been watching videos of me swinging a bat all day long. Like, I'm just watching videos going, because I never got to see myself swing a bat as a kid. Like, you never got videos of yourself playing baseball. Like, it was, videos were hard to come by back then. This is the first time I'm watching myself swing a bat, and I am like, I cannot stop looking at it. I'm like, God damn it, I have a beautiful fucking swing. It was so much fun just hitting dingers in a drive-in movie theater.
You're fucking hilarious, dude. You're a shit talker. God damn, I have a beautiful swing.
Dude, I have wanted to see myself swing a baseball bat my whole life. My whole life. When I was probably like 13, we got a first camcorder, right? And my dad had a camcorder, but it was horrible fucking footage through a fence over in the stands. Like, no one cared about like framing or anything. So right. I had two base hits that my dad filmed on that tape. And then in high school, someone videotaped me one time. I saw myself swing one time. And I was like, oh, man, I would love to see more of that. I was up last night drinking by myself, watching myself swing and hit the baseball. I was like, this is crazy, man.
You know, Bert, the longer I do this, the more I get into, like, how your whole psychological makeup.
I'm broken, Bill.
Yeah, I never knew. I always thought that you were one of those. I'm fucking with you. I don't think you're broken, but I thought, you know, because you got married younger. I always thought the comics who got married younger and had kids were a lot more grounded than. I'll tell you what's fucked up is one of my buddies sent me a video of my buddy who died, of us. We went to an Anaheim Angels game, April 2nd, 1997.
Whoa.
And like, just watching, like, wait, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And almost everybody said, married, couple of kids, hopefully selling tickets. Like, I took me back to that time in my life where I always wanted to be married. I always wanted to have a family, but it always felt 5 years away, no matter what age I was at. And I was starting to think, like, God damn, is this ever gonna happen for me? And I was always I got more envious of comics' personal lives the more regular they were than I did of their acts. And oh, he got this or she got that or whatever. I was envious of, like, you know, this guy comes down, he does the show, and then he goes home to a family. Like, what's that like?
Yeah.
Instead of me hanging out here, trying to stay out as long as I can, so when I go home, I just pass out and go to sleep, and I don't have to live. Because it's weird. You're not lonely in the morning when you wake up. It's weird. It's, for me, it was nighttime. Going home alone, just sitting in your fucking place by yourself was... That's when the demons and the smoke and everything would fucking catch up with me. And I remember there was a few guys. There was one guy used to always come down to the Comedy Cellar. I'm flaking on his name. And he's, you know, he's much older than I am. And he'd been married for like 40 years. Like, he'd been married for 40 years. He goes, I have not kissed another woman in like 43 years. Because he met his wife and dated her like 3 years. And his kid was like 27. And it was just looking like, it was like, you do this great job, but you're totally normal. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was really like, you know, I used to look at guys like Ray Romano. And when I would look at Ray Romano, I wasn't looking at his, he had a, like a killer sitcom, which the thing is still hilarious and relevant now. And it went into to syndication, and he's got this amazing, you know, becomes this amazing actor, you know, as good an actor as he is a comedian and all of that. And but the thing with him, I would watch him, just like, you know, he married, you know, he got married young and he had kids, and it's just like he like that was the part of his life that I wanted. I wasn't looking at like, oh my God, this guy's doing these corporate gigs and he's whatever. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. He's doing these celebrity golf tournaments and shit. I didn't give a fuck about any of that. It's like, this guy comes home to 2-3 kids.
Yeah.
You know, to the park and or whatever, just does normal shit. And yeah, I think if I could have done it over again, who knows? But then that changes what, you know, that's like, that's that back to school, not back to school, Back to the Future shit.
I was in such a panic to work in this business. I remember people were friends with like I remember someone was friends with an executive at like a network. And I remember thinking, how can you be friends with them? Like, wouldn't you be pitching them the whole time? Like, wouldn't you always have an idea to pitch them? And they're like, no, I'm just, there's like my friend. I just hang out with them. And I was like, I could never do that. Like, I was amazed people could make money. Like, when I'd see people that owned a house, I'd be like, how the fuck did you get a house? Like, that is so amazing to me that you, yeah, that you saved up. Like, what? How? Like, I remember thinking, where did you get the big check from? Like, you got to put a down payment on a house. Like, what was your, like, did you?
No,
like,
and then also have the proof that you're going to continue to be making this money. Dude, there's so many moments in comedy that I just remember shit. I remember Anthony Clark coming into the Comedy Connection in the beginning of the year in like 93 or 94. And his agent had just sent him his entire year of dates. And it was just like punchline, improv, all the great things. And I just remember sitting there going like, I can't imagine what it's like to be at that level. To just, because at that point I was my own manager, agent, the whole thing. And I'm calling, this is Bill Burr calling up. I mean, I was still at Nick's Comedy Stop, and the woman who booked it used to make me say, this is open micer Bill Burr. And I used to laugh, and I would do it. Now, what's funny about that is that should be like, you know, it was really degrading, and I feel like you did that to me because I was a redhead. And it was just like, I laughed about it. And I actually still said open micer Bill Burr, even when I had moved on to hosting and like even like featuring, and she doesn't work there anymore, and she lives out here in LA, and every once in a while there'd be some sort of reunion thing, and she would show up, and she would be like, hey, open mic or Bill Burr, and I'd be like, hey, what's going on? That's right. You got any spots for me Monday night? And we would laugh, I don't know. Oh, and we would laugh.
I remember getting my first deal, and they were like, "So we want to bring you out to LA. What week works for you?" And I was like, "Every single week you have. Like, I have nothing to do." And they were like,
"I love that you didn't know enough to be like, let me check my calendar." Weekend of the 27th.
They flew me out, Bill. I swear to God, they flew me out, and they're like, "So we'll fly you back, and then when we have other meetings, we'll fly you there." And I was like, I can just stay here. And they're like, "What do you mean?" I was like, I'll just stay here. And they're like, "You can stay out here for us?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "How long?" And I was like, "How long do you need me?" And they're like, "It would be great if you could stay out here for like 7 months." And I was like, "Yeah, I can do that." And they're like, "Bill, I stayed in a hotel for 7 months at the Universal Sheraton. They paid for it the entire time, gave me a rental car, and I just didn't leave. I was like, I have nothing to do. I was like, I'll do spots at night, but the fuck, like, you gave me money."
I stayed at
the
Universal Sheraton.
Yeah.
I think about that every time. There's two hotels I think about. I think of whenever I see them, I think, no, if I'm flying.
Yeah.
When I fly out of Burbank, when you go through the Cahuenga Pass, not trying to big league everybody, but I always look at that thing, and I remember staying there, and I had a some big role. I can't remember if I even got it. They put me up there, and then the test was like on the lot right next to it. This is before they had all the crazy. I think they just had the backdraft ride at that point. And then there's that one when you go into the Lincoln Tunnel. Mm-hmm. There was a Days Inn. I don't know what it's called. And I actually found that. I have in my scrapbook, I have the key. When I first came down to New York, I stayed there and went through that place, Roommate Finders, to try and find a roommate, to try to find a place to live, because I didn't know anybody in New York and I needed a place. And I stayed there, and I would take the PATH train in, and then I would go to Times Square, that Howard Johnson's that used to be there, and there was a payphone, and I'd have a fucking $10.
I remember that. They used to put the Delta flight attendants there.
Yeah. Well, this is just a restaurant. I guess there was a hotel there.
There was a hotel above it, I think.
Yeah. I just knew the restaurant. I didn't even look behind it. But I would just call to try and, you know, and just meet all of these. And this is when New York was just so still, like, just really, like, sketchy. You know, I mean, it was just really, like, every person was like a character. And fucking really weird. Really weird. Like, it's a different kind of weird now, where it's like sort of Mayberry weird, you know, with all the glass towers and just the level of money I feel like you have to have to be there.
I met a guy when I was looking for roommates and trying to find an apartment in New York and wanting to be a comedian. I'll never forget this. Guy was like, it was a broker. I think he was a broker, and he was like, "So what do you do? And I said, "I'm a comedian." And he goes, "Hey, my roommate's a comedian." I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, Russ Meniv." And I went, "Oh, wow." And I remember thinking, Bill, I hope one day I have a roommate who gets to say, "Hey, my roommate's a comedian, Bert Kreischer," and it be true. I was like, I just want it to be true. Because he said Russ Meniv, and I knew Russ. And I was like, oh, yeah, he is a comedian. And I was not a comedian, really. I was just hanging out at the clubs. I wasn't getting spots. But that's so crazy, those little things when you're younger that, like, blow your mind. I mean, I remember
back then in 95, a one-bedroom apartment in New York City was $700 a month. And I just remember thinking, I couldn't make that money in fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
And that's all the money I would make. Like, how in the fuck does somebody take $700 and go here every month and they can still eat?
Yeah. God.
Can you imagine paying $700 to live in Manhattan now?
By the way, it'll be like that. It'll be like that in a fucking year.
Why?
No one's
people leaving there?
Yeah, everyone's leaving. Everyone's leaving big cities to go to suburbs. I mean, I just talked to my lawyer.
Light it out. They'll be back.
You think?
Yes. But you're an everyone guy.
Yeah.
You probably met two people that, everyone's leaving.
Everyone. I speak in hyperbole, my wife says. It's never never the fact. I feel like people don't feel how I feel. When, like, two of my friends leave LA, I am upset about it. So I want everyone to know that everyone's leaving. And then Leanne's like, it's Joe, and it's fine. He's gonna be back and forth. I'm like, yeah, but And then Joey's leaving, and she's like, I know. But I go, but Joey and Joe are two of my close friends. Like, that feels like everyone.
She was it's sad. It is sad because I know that, you know, I'm assuming Joe's going to be flying back and forth doing the podcast. He's building a studio out there, I think. But it's an end of an era.
It is.
You know what I mean, it's like you go down to the store and you saw those guys. I mean, that's a crater. That's definitely a shift.
There are that I can think of six dudes that were huge store guys that are now probably not going to be store guys because they're either moving or something went down with the
canceling stuff,
cancel culture. That you look at it and you go, I remember Bill. I remember going into a show. Right when I booked that Call in Sick to Work show that we were going to do the day my special dropped, I remember thinking, this is insane. Like, this is crazy. Bill Burr, Sebastian, David Spade, Rogan, Segura. Like, I'm listing these guys going like, this is the best comedy's ever been. What could possibly happen? And then the coronavirus hits. And then taxes get up. Everyone starts fucking leaving. And you're like, oh, that's how that works. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't know. But then what happens is new guys slide in. I mean, I can, you know, back in the day, people were saying, think of the fucking names, dude. As great as those names are, there was nights when it was like Pryor, Jim Carrey, Dice, Eddie Griffin, like just the level of, you know, people that were like, I mean, yeah, that's a hell of a place. It's amazing. I hope, I don't know, man. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what fucking happens?
It's a good place to end the podcast.
Who knows what the fuck happens? Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. I'm in a real weird headspace. If you told me that I was going to miss my buddy's, that guy's funeral, like that, because there was no fucking way I would have driven back for that damn thing. It's just this stupid fucking coronavirus and all of this, you know, having kids now and shit. You gotta make decisions differently. But I'm gonna tell you this, dude, and I promised the memory of him this, dude. When this fucking thing is over, I'm gonna put together a goddamn show out there for that guy that's gonna make up for all of this shit. So at least I was able to get the something to his funeral. Yeah, it just sucks. So whatever. Sorry to bum everybody out, but you know.
Hey.
It is what it is, but I'm back. I had a good show last night. Okay, I got it. All right, everybody. Well, that ends another wonderful Bill.
Bert.
Pod.
Cast.
Dude, it's great to see you, man, even though we're not hanging out, but it's great that the shows are going good and you're affecting people in a positive way. And I am for unity with comedians.
Yes.
Be together here. And
there's enough room for everyone.
There's enough room for everybody, and try not to be some bored person's entertainment as you fucking rip the heart out of somebody else with some, I don't know what you're basing it on. All right, that's it. We'll talk to you next time.